Luke chapter 11, and if you don't know the Lord's Prayer, you want to follow along in the Lord's Prayer. The one we have commonly memorized is in Matthew chapter 6. And so I want us to say that together here in just a few moments. So if you don't know it, but want to follow along with it, it's Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 beginning. But I wanted to read verse number 1 and a portion here of verse number 2, and then we'll skip over to Matthew 6. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say. Let's say it together tonight. Matthew 6, 9. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you could answer this question publicly tonight, I wonder how we would answer it. Do I know how to pray? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to pray in such a way of putting words together in such a way that it pulls heaven and earth together and pulls all the people listening right into that channel of prayer and takes us right into the throne room of God? It'd be phenomenal, wouldn't it? It would be incredible to know how to really get a hold of the horns of the altar, as the Old Testament would signify, of hanging on to the horns of the altar and praying, seeking with such passion and petition. Some of you are probably sitting there saying, but that's not what the disciples said here. Teach us how to pray. And that's true. What we find here in this passage, Lord, teach us to pray. And yet quite often when we see this passage of Scripture, we think about it from the aspect of teaching us how to pray, because we want to learn how to pray, because most of us at some point in our lives, in our spiritual journey, we struggle with praying out loud because we feel like we can't put words together to form what is commonly understood as an acceptable prayer. We probably have developed that because we have heard some great prayers in our day. And we love to be able to emulate them. We'd love to be able to mirror their style or mirror their prayers. Maybe their prayer is such that it's just simply deep, expressive words. Or maybe it's passion, fervency. But at any rate, whatever the case may be, we have had our praying heroes, and we want to reach that level. And we just can't seem to make it there. When really, that is not important. That is irrelevant to this thing called prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, Jesus tells us then, when we pray, that we are to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I'm not going to go through all the breakdown here of what we call the Lord's Prayer. But there's certain aspects there that he's just simply teaching the way to pray and simply express from our heart. Talk to him as though we're talking to a friend. But there are some things that if we look at the life of Jesus Christ, we too could say, Lord, teach us to pray and learn from his example. It may be a little bit of a surprise to us that the disciples would say, Lord, teach us to pray, when they walked with him so faithfully for a number of years and saw him pray repeatedly, time and time again. They watched him pray, or they knew he was getting away to a solitary place to pray, and yet they still had to say, Lord, teach us to pray. They were not just simply following his example, but they wanted him to teach them how to pray. What can we do? He's not here with us in that same sense or in that same capacity. How is it that we can learn from him about this subject of prayer? The first things that we look at in the life of Jesus Christ is that Jesus seemed to go to prayer following some great spiritual toil. We can first of all look in Mark chapter 1, verses 34 and 35. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, cast out many devils, suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. After a great time of toiling, spiritual toil, he found a place to pray. Mark chapter 6, verse 44. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, verse 46, he departed into a mountain to pray. Following great spiritual toil or great spiritual victory, Jesus is finding himself, or we find Jesus getting away to pray. Do you have any ideas as to why that would be? Why, sure, he's up on top of the spiritual mountain. Why does he need at that point? It's because that in that point, there is that loss of strength because he has given out. There has been virtue gone from him. And he needs to replenish that store and not allow the devil to come in and defeat. I believe that he's teaching us that when we experience great times of revival within our heart or spiritual moves within our heart, that we dare not sit back. But we need to press on in the place of prayer. We also find him teaching us to pray in another aspect. And that would be found in Luke chapter 6. This is a little bit different. We have to follow it carefully to understand what is taking place here. But Luke's gospel gives us a very clear indication that Jesus is praying right before there was some important duty that he had to perform. That's important for us to learn. Sunday school teachers, song leaders, one's giving special songs, or Wednesday night time in devotional, or a message that there's this spiritual duty that is coming before us. The important thing is that we learn from Christ to go and spend time in prayer. Now let's look at what Jesus was doing here. What was his special point of duty? Luke chapter 6, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Verse number 13, and when it was day, the very next day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. The significance here is, I believe, that Jesus was making a decision, a great spiritual decision. And he wanted the mind of his Father in that choice. I think it's important for us to learn from that. That the decisions of our lives, whether it's in actual ministry or in our areas of our lives in general, that we seek him prior to that point. The third thing we can notice is that there's another time that Jesus prays. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, and the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." You know the next verse, don't you? "But I have prayed for thee." There we see that Jesus is praying for the spiritual condition of another person. Jesus is praying that the faith of Peter would not fail in the midst of this sifting time. Praying for the spiritual vibrance of Peter, that it would not be minimized, that it would not weaken, that it would not fail. And he said that he's also praying for him that when it's all over, when it's finished, that he will be strong enough to go and strengthen his brethren. Not just hold it in, but to go and strengthen those around him. Believe that Jesus, we can learn from Jesus here that he is praying for the strength of his followers or of his brethren. John chapter 17, verses 9 and 11, he gives the same indication in his high priestly prayer. He said, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And I now am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Here he is again, giving us the example of praying for one another. Seeking him. The fourth thing we can learn from him in prayer. We may struggle a bit with this one because we're not all-knowing and we can't see down the road, but we find that Jesus is giving us an example here of praying as a preparation for sorrow to come. Mark chapter 14, "And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him." Preparation for the battle ahead. Or the sorrow ahead. Now, see, you and I don't know when that's going to come. So it might be that we should be prayed up. Anybody say amen to that? That means that we should be in the place of prayer on a regular basis and on a regular occasion, an occurrence taking place of prayer, so that when the battle does come, we are prepared by his grace to make it. To sustain spiritual lives. Lord, teach us to pray. I know we want him to teach us how to pray. Lord, if you could only teach me how to pray like Edward prays, or pray, if you could teach me how to pray like Earl Tedrow prays, or if you could teach me how to pray like Robert prays, or like Ruth, or anybody else, whoever it is that you're thinking about. Lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of your praying heroes, but lose sight of wanting to pray like somebody else and just go to prayer and learn from him through experience, following his example of just simply crying out to God from the heart, seeking him from the heart. And you might be surprised that one day somebody will look up to you and say, "Oh, I wish I could pray like you." Because I believe that it'll happen if we but follow him and pray as God wants us to pray. Strange message for the Sunday night before revival, but I believe it's needed for revival because prayer seems to be the key that will give us something more than just a week of meetings. Because as we pray and seek God and as we cry out to Him, it develops a hunger within us to have more and to see more and experience more, to where we cry from the depths of our heart, "Oh God, breathe upon us." And when He comes and breathes upon us, it is a meeting worth remembering. Let's pray for revival. Seeking Him, longing to be touched by Him, longing to feel the breath of God this week. Let's stand together.